Boy. On 1116 SEN, Crunch Time, voted the most outstanding radio football program 2007, 10, 11 and 2013. For Ringwood Mazda, when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
You can talk about off-field equalisation as much as you want, but you know what a fan wants? On-field equalisation. That's what they're after. People want to give their side, you know, they want to be waiting 5 years to see their side rise up the ladder again. They want it next year. Hope is the biggest seller in AFL footy, and we've got to give that to fans.
Well, how do you think we can best keep the concept and have more parity?
I think from our point of view, I'd happily reduce the free agency a year. But to get that, I think the players have got to give up their right to veto a trade. From that point of view, we've also got to free up future markets with regard to trade.
How would that give the lower clubs more dibs on the good players, though?
Well, the lower clubs have got the better picks. So, for example, I don't know, who had pick one last year? St Kilda, for example. St Kilda, in theory, I'm probably speaking a little bit out of school here, but for them to convince a player to come to their club is probably a little bit hard at the moment, because they're probably going to be a little bit of time till they get good. Now, granted, they've had some outstanding games this year and they're well and truly on the right track, don't get me wrong. But trying to convince a ready-made player that wants to play in a flag to go there at this stage of their career is incredibly hard.
Voice of Damien Hardwick chatting last night about free agency and the difficulty of teams regenerating. That was in the coach's box each Friday night from 6. We have a senior coach with us to chat all the issues of the week and their club, but also some of the broader issues of the game. It's a must-listen to radio if you're a footy fan. And last night, that was pretty interesting what Damien said. I think echoing a couple of other coaches share that same view, that the players want their cake and eat it too. They want all the benefits of free agency, but they also want to be able to choose and have the right to veto any potential trade. Damien certainly think that would open things up, which leads us in some way to our topic today for our Saturday spotlight, which is that decision, and I guess it comes from the discussion around Essendon, that if things continue to go poorly for them this year, what do they do at the end of the year? Can they, given what they've done recruiting-wise, actually say, you know what, it's time for a rebuild or some sort of regeneration? Terry, I mean, you're obviously an expert in this area. Let's start with the Bombers, but also the broader concept of how fine that line is as to when to make a dramatic change in your recruiting policies.
Well, starting with the Bombers, I mean, you've got to see that they lost selections in the national draft, which impacts all the time. And therefore, that when you're losing those high-end or top-end selections, it's all very well for people to sort of say, oh, well, just pick the next available, but there is a massive difference between the likelihood of a selection number 20 playing regular senior football to a selection number 70. Now, we've all got the good news stories, and you know, you get somebody like Swanee through, Max, who comes through in the 50s.
On the rookie.
Comes through in the 50s and plays great footy, but that happens, and you know, Max through the rookie list. But the reality is that they had to look outside of the norm to be able to try to do things. Now, whether it was right or wrong to go for senior players, because not only bringing the senior players in, I thought what it actually did, as soon as you bring them in, you're going to play them, and that also restricts the development of the guys that are there. So all of a sudden they see less opportunity for them, whether that is a mindset thing, whether they are developed as hard and as heavily because the senior side's more settled. That has a major impact on it. So Essendon at the moment, where are they at? Well, if they keep Carlisle, I still look at their spine. Their spine is at the right age and should be continuing to improve. So they've got that part of their game right. Where they're probably deficient is around the ball, and they've got to get Myers and a couple of others back, Hocking back into the lineup.
But Hocking's not going to be there in probably 2 years.
Two or three years.
But Myers will.
It's easier to get midfielders. Right, it is easy to get midfielders in key position. They've got their spine okay, providing that they don't lose players from their spine. I have a look at that back line. Courtney Dempsey's gone off the radar. Yes, they need another good running halfback. I'd be playing Adam Cooney there until you develop one, because he's not giving you anything anywhere else.
Well, it worked for Matty Boyd going back and playing the halfback.
You know, and Murphy, Murphy on the other side. I just think that at least that covers off that role at the moment. But I have a look at their back line with Hibbert and Bagley and those guys there.
Strong.
Yeah. No problems there. Down the spine, strong. So I don't think it's broken. So when you talk about a rebuild for them, I don't think it's a rebuild for them. I think it's just, you know, just sort of formulating a few things. But the problem that you've got at the moment is we're going into a national draft which is really weak.
Yes, really weak. I've been told that.
A lot of the recruiters are going to NIAFL games to find the next Vandenberg, are going to VFL games to find 22, 23-year-olds over what's actually coming through in this national draft. The Metro boys, where we get so many normally Vic Metro boys drafted in the national draft pool, this is the weakest Vic Metro side I've seen for at least a decade, and it's going to be very surprising how few get drafted.
A recruiter told the Herald Sun this week, he was unnamed, unfortunately, but that's what's happened because no one likes to put names to outlandish statements. But he said, I'm telling you, if Vic Metro's poor, we've got a very shallow draft.
Well, I would go as far to say that if you stacked up at the moment with the academies, if you stacked up the New South Wales team versus the Vic Metro team,
wow,
not a lot of difference between them.
Just very quickly, how many reserves games did you play, Terry?
Three.
Not going to help my argument because you're a star. But that's right. How many reserves games did you play?
20 before I went to Collingwood at VFL.
Yep.
Ballarat, and then probably another 30.
Well, it's a 50.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Essendon
player. I didn't play any, Robert.
Oh, sorry, Hutto. How many did you do? The point I'm
straight
making
the
is
for me.
A long time ago in football, some players were playing 100 VFL games and then going in and having really successful.
The team we played last night. So they had a premiership team in the VFL Geelong.
Yep.
With Ablett, Bartel, Kelly, all Johnson, all at the
Western
same
Bulldogs
time.
At the moment have got about eight from the VFL. Tommy Mitchell at Sydney.
Tommy Mitchell, another guy who's making earning his chance. And the point I want to make with Essendon, because they played these senior players because they got them in, it's given a guy, for example, an Elliot Kavanagh, an opportunity to develop more in the VFL.
At 22 years of age.
And he comes in at 22, not 18, 19, hoping everything's going to be fantastic. And last week in a pretty poor performance against Geelong, Elliot Kavanagh was pretty solid.
Yeah, but
actually,
but they got flogged by Geelong, who had six blokes under 20 games in their side, with Essendon only three in their side. So you can do it either way, Robbo.
No, there was a stinkingly bad performance,
well,
Terry.
We're talking about a ruckman, though. The one that fascinates me for 2 years now is Brody Grundy, because I saw him come in. He got to 18. So a lot of teams had a chance. And you might know better than what actually happened, but I saw him step in and went,
draft history.
This guy's going to be good.
All that happened was draft history. And there's a fair bit of follow the leader. So what had happened was Ruckman brought in the first round of the national draft had been remarkably unsuccessful over a 10-year period. So what happens is they're just their ranking goes
drops
and goes down in order.
Just with Juddy retiring this week, John Anderson at the paper got out an article that all these articles were written about the time of Judd Ball and Hodge, et cetera, and he got an article out with quoting John Beveridge, and he read it to me, and John Beveridge was spot on Luke Hodge. He said, you know, he can play forward, he'll probably go into the midfield and will probably end up in defence. I thought, God, that's not bad. That's not bad, John Beveridge. And he said, Luke Ball, he's going to be a guy who will be able to get the ball and deliver left and right. He will be an extractor and use the ball. And I said, tick. And third, Juddy's going to be an outside wingman, right? That's what he roundabout said. Yeah. And the reason why they all took everything, because the balance of their list meant that St Kilda didn't need another outside player. They needed an inside player, a la Luke Ball.
And he become one of the most inside players of all time.
But someone else actually said last night, they were talking to us, they said that they actually thought they would get Judd with six, but West Coast changed their mind.
Did they really?
Yeah, Hutto.
Because of the double shoulders.
Brian Waldron said it during the week, that they their mail was that West Coast would go for a local player, and that was Ashley Sampey.
It was Ashley Sampey, and they did go with Ashley Sampey because,
but later,
again, myself and Ando have looked at the 2001 draft tomorrow in the paper, and it was Ashley Sampey. Graham Pollack, I think, was taken at four at Freo.
Yeah, so they were hoping that they'd get Judd.
Sliding doors. Imagine what happens to St Kilda if they had Ball and Judd through that period.
And obviously he'd done the two shoulders, and the second one was only in the national draft, which is about this time of the year. So it was only, he'd popped the shoulder only about 3 months before the national draft.
Hey, well, he came from Kerry Grammar?
Caulfield Grammar.
I keep saying Kerry. Yeah. Caulfield Grammar. He played six games, and I wrote an article about this kid called Chris Judd, because I'd watched him play, and I thought, God, look at this guy. And I rang Barry Rowlings, who was your former teammate at Premiership teammate at Hawthorn, who was a football head coach down at Caulfield Grammar. And clearly, he couldn't believe that Judd went at three because he'd been watching him play since 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s, 16s in the under-18s.
He told Richmond to send Gasper home to get hold of the early pick to try
Did
to
get really?
Up.
Look, we've got off topic, but we've run out of time anyway.
We run out of time every week.
Just before we go, we had a crack at you, a couple of articles. Just want to congratulate you on the Nick Riewoldt article.
Yep,
I thought it was absolutely sensational. And well done for last Monday as well. I just thought everyone coming together for Neil Danaher was brilliant.
It was a great day for all of us. It was fun. Yeah. And I had no padding down, you might have noticed.
I thought you were going to go and buy a box,
cricket box. I actually put one of those sort of 12-inch aerosol cans as I tried it on the Sunday,
but I thought
I'd better not. They paid
fantastic.
First National Real Estate paid $32,000 for me to wear that.
All right, in a word only, boys, well, everyone, Fremantle here, it's fined up. So
let's go possessions five.
He's season low last week, 26. Only three times under 30, I'd say he'll just cruise around it.
37.
I was going to go. I'll go 39.
42.
West Coast and Essendon tonight.
West Coast.
Yep.
West Coast comfortably.
North Sydney. Anyone give North a chance?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yeah, no, me either. Collingwood, GWS. Collingwood are the favourites.
GWS.
GWS.
For me.
I'm going Collingwood.
Pies because it's at the MCG, but Grundy's a massive loss.
I've lost a little bit.
Which is going to have to really step up.
My faith in GWS was stronger 3 weeks ago than it is today.
No, that's a fair call. St Kilda and Melbourne. Dylan Robertson out of the team, replaced by Cameron Shenton due to a foot infection.
Now, Hutto, I spent Tuesday afternoon in St Kilda's opposition analysis meeting.
Yep.
I've written my article, which will be going in tomorrow's Sunday Herald Sun. Football heads will be blown away by the language and topics that they discuss.
One word tip, you said, mate.
I got to build it up, Maxie. Have Maxie back, smart ass?
No,
he becomes a premiership bloody captain and becomes a smart ass. I liked him when he was on the rookie list.
All right.
I'm tipping Melbourne off the back of the fact that they haven't won for 20 games at Etihad, so surely they've got to break it.
Law of averages. I love it. All right. Good stuff, boys. Thanks for being with us. All the interviews up on the SEN website. Matty G, KB's here. He's written his name on the record, KB, just to make sure no one else steals his. So that's good to see from KB. Britz is here and the whole team. And Matty is a bit of a thief, so that's probably fair enough. But thanks for being with us for the show, everybody. To Maxie and Terry for being sitting in. Of course, Kingy and Derm will be back next week with another big edition. But plenty of footy coming your way. Fremantle and the Gold Coast, as we said. Things have fined up here a little bit at Metricon, so it should be a big game. Stay with the team coming up. 11:16 SEN, and ahead of the end of financial year is approaching. It's a great time for deals at Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.